33,000, circle that number, 33,000 decisions every day, according to research. I have no idea who sat down and followed somebody around and counted every decision, but they estimate we all make 33,000 decisions every day. Of course, 90% of them are sort of habitual. We don't even think about them. They just are automatic. Somewhere along the line, we learned how to do it. Everything from brushing our teeth to tying our shoe, right? Decisions throughout the day. But you know, the decisions that we make are critical, and the decisions that we make impact our life, and the decisions that we make will make a difference in terms of our marriage, family, and the outcome of our, not only our day, but our life. We're going to continue this discussion, picking up from last week, last Wednesday. We had such a great show on decision making. You can go back and listen to that in our archives, and we have callers standing by that want to continue this discussion today. A couple things about decisions. One is making a decision before you need to make a decision is big, huge. I grew up in a great home. My parents were godly. I grew up in a Christian home, ministry service home, ministry-minded home. But I don't recall my parents ever sitting down and being intentional about, okay, Randy, here's how you're going to, in your life, have to make decisions about money or marriage or family or work or school or career. And here's some ways that you need to think about that. It just, I sort of observed it, I suppose, in the family and how decisions were being made. Most of us, probably that's the way it's done. We observe, we learn. Sometimes, fortunately, in my case, most of the decisions were good. And so I learned that being cautious and prayerful is an important thing. But some of you probably didn't learn at all about making decisions, and you've made a series of ones that you regret now, and you look back. And the good news is you can pick yourself up with God's help and continue on. Don't get stuck. God's a forgiving God. 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us, the Bible says, and to restore us. And so today it might be maybe that aha moment your brain goes off is saying, hey, I got to make a few big decisions about my life. I'm going to honor God with my money. I'm going to honor God in my marriage. I'm going to honor God with my health or my relationships or whatever it may be. And you make a few big decisions, and then the other decisions that you have to make every day, some of those 33,000 decisions, have a plumb line against which they can be measured. Just like a carpenter has to have a plumb line to measure how they're going to build your house. That's important. Making good decisions, that's our focus here today, making them in a way that honors Christ. Let's get to our callers. We're going to start in Georgia with Nisi. Appreciate your call. What kind of decision are you making or did you make?
I made a very bad decision, and I rushed into a relationship that turned into a marriage while I was still recovering from a bad marriage. Mm. And I learned that I have to give time. I have to take time to pray and listen, but mostly to wait and be patient. Mm-hmm. My marriage wrecked my credit, and I was left brokenhearted and financially bereft. And I learned a lot to rely more on God and myself instead of looking for other people to make me happy. And that's what I would like for people to know, especially young people, to know that they have to find their way with God.
Yeah, it's not in another person. So you really were responding to making that decision out of neediness.
Yes. Mm. I felt like I had to have somebody else to make me whole. And I relied on somebody who wasn't responsible, and I was fairly responsible, but I allowed myself to be caught up in the moment and make risky decisions, and that left me alone eventually because rushing into it, I didn't know him well enough to devote my life to him. Hmm. And then when that ended, it was very lonely. So I turned back to God, and I sought solace, and he met every need that I have. He saved both of my children. My son became a youth minister, and then a youth pastor. My daughter and I both teach Sunday school now. They're both grown now and have children of their own, and they're very involved in their church. So I'm thankful that God brought me the patience that I needed to make better decisions. and saved my family.
Well, that's fantastic, Nisa. And I appreciate the story, because I thought we were going to leave you in a pit there at the beginning, you know, but then hearing what God has done in your life and how you got out of it, and you're out of the pit, and God is blessed, and your kids are doing well, and you're doing better, and you're just sending out a warning to young people. Listen, any of you today who are struggling with this thing of knowing, you know down deep that the decisions you're going to be making in the months and years ahead are so important, can I give you just two verses? Write them down at your own convenience. You sit down and look at them. You try to understand what these verses are saying to you about making decisions. It comes from the book of Proverbs, a lot of wisdom from Solomon, who in his life got kicked around a lot. You know, he wrote his Song of Solomon verses when he was young. He wrote these Proverbs in his middle years, and Ecclesiastes at the end of his life as he continued to learn. But here in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, it's a verse that I'm really clinging onto for intentional living, because it tells us three things that we need to do, and those are conditional things that then allows God, or gives God the opportunity to direct our path. So I take from that, if we're not doing these three things, then to expect that God's going to help us make better decisions doesn't make a lot of sense. What does it say, Randy? Here it is, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord, which means we rely on Him. God, we rely on You. Not about me. You're bigger than I am. You're better than I am. You're God and I'm not. Like the song we play, right? You're God and I'm not. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The word heart in Scripture, by the way, is not that pumping organ in the center of our chest. It's about our will, our emotions, our mind, our thinking. Kind of the essence of who we are. So we trust in the Lord, rely on the Lord with all of our heart, our will, our mind, our emotions. Lean not, and you got that picture, I like that. We're not leaning, it says, on our own understanding. Our own understanding means our own reasoning. And listen, it's our reasoning that probably got us into the mess we're in today. So trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him. And all that means, when someone walks into the room, what do? You acknowledge them. Welcome. Nice to have you in our home. Acknowledge that God is in your place. He's in your heart. He's here. The Holy Spirit is present. Lord, I acknowledge You are here. I'm trying to make a decision. I don't know what to do here. I want to do the right thing. I acknowledge Your presence. When we acknowledge the Holy Spirit is present, that kind of lights up the room a little bit. So trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. Then Scripture says He will direct your path. I think many times in our life, we wait until we get in the pit and we say, oh, God, please show me what I need to do. And He will. But if we've not been doing these other things, it's kind of picking up the pieces, right? And we got to get back up on our feet and hopefully and prayerfully apply those three things to our life. What are they again? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Quick break, and we'll be back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
It says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 4:4, be angry, but do not sin. Isn't that interesting? You know, I have always said that emotions are given to us as a fuel. If you're a person that has emotion, see this as a gift from God. Why am I angry right now? What is God's intention about this anger that I'm feeling? Is it driving me to healing, to forgiveness? Is it driving me to understand myself and my own failings, or how I contributed to the problem? Is it something that I'm trying to control? Am I trying to be a person that's, you know, always being able to control everything around me, and when things aren't in control, I get angry? What is God's intention about anger in our life? If God didn't have an intention for it, He wouldn't give it to us. so true. That's a clip from our lesson that's featured this month on our website at theintentionallife.com, putting tripwires into our life. That's so important. I hope you'll listen to it. We create these resources to encourage you, to help you in your walk with Christ. And it's, as I often say, it's just made it's made possible because we got so many wonderful people, faithful people who pray for us and support us and stand with us and allow us to do what we do every day. And if you are not one, come and join us. We really would appreciate your help. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or give us a call at 888-888-1717 and press number 2 to talk to our team.
About 3 months ago, I accepted Christ in my life. So I had to make some intentional choices. And what I have chosen to do is develop a relationship with Christ, and that I had made the choices that I made so I can develop and grow in the ministry of Christ. Thank you for this example, and thank you for helping me make these decisions.
Making decisions, the next one's the most important one right now, isn't it? All right, Bob, you're next. Appreciate your call. How you doing?
Hi there. I'm fine, Dr. Randy, and I appreciate the topic you have and the wisdom that you're giving the audience today.
Thank you.
I'm a retired business professor. I used to teach decision making under uncertainty, but before that, I was an administrator that had to make all kinds of decisions and to use those tools. But I found that as long as I stuck with the structure that the Bible gave me, that provided a structure beyond just the mathematics.
Right.
And I could use that as an evaluative tool, and it may not have always looked like it was going to work out, but God always took me through. Mm. And sometimes it was like looking out the rear window of a 9-passenger station wagon, but in the end, the Holy Spirit was driving, and it did work out for good, just as the Word says.
What were some of the steps that you took? It's kind of a process. What can you kind of number them? What are some of the things you went through in your mind and in the questions you ask and making decisions?
Well, the first thing you had to do was get basic. You get your data and information, but the most important step was to go and pray. And the Lord spoke to me. This is going to sound funny to some people, but I will celebrate 58 years of marriage to my wife next week.
Great.
And we were not what you would call the great couple in the eyes of a lot of people, but the Lord said, she's the little girl for you, and you'll be happy with her. And I listened, and we have been happy. We have 2 sons and a grandson, et cetera, et cetera. It's not always smooth, but we've gone through it. You get your data, but you take your data to the Lord.
That's right.
And then you let Him guide you. And if you trust Him, and that's a key word, and I think you've mentioned this over and over and over again to your audience, take time and let that still small voice speak to you, because the still small voice still speaks.
Sure does. All right. You sound like a college professor too, don't you? Thank you for calling. Get your data and take your data in prayer to God. Good thought. All right, Allison, you've been waiting there in Texas. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Randy. I just wanted to follow up with you. I listened to your decision discussion yesterday.
Thank you.
I wanted to take advantage of this opportunity just to give you a word from the Lord that He put on my heart. When I heard you ask, I thought about the verse in the Bible. It's Psalms 18:33, and He says, He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. So in the beginning of my walk with Christ, I was always, I guess you could say, kind of on fire for Him. So I was really impulsive with a lot of my decision-making. As I matured in my relationship with Christ, I've found that the slower you go into something, the quicker He can make you rise. Mm. And so I just like to ease into everything. So if, you know, the secret place that God tells you, you know, go into that secret place, because there's some stuff that He wants to reveal to us, but it's a secret. We got to dig for it, right?
Yeah.
We got to look for it. We got to search for it. So I've just found that easing into things by prayer and patience and steadfastness, that's the way to go. just to encounter God and lay everything at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And he will show you what to do. He will make you as sure-footed as a deer.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, Allison, personally, I've learned when I make impulsive decisions, and I'm not a big impulsive decision maker, but when I have, they're usually wrong. And one of the reasons is because I haven't talked to Donna about it first. Just talking to your spouse, if you're married, or to someone you trust, slows the process down automatically, because you have to schedule that and sit down and think about it. But impulsivity can get us in trouble, especially when they're big decisions. And so that's a good reminder. I'm thinking about a verse I shared last week from Proverbs 25, where it says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit. And that's really what happens, I think, with impulsivity. We don't have rule over it. Our spirit, our habits, or our own desires sort of overtake us. Whoever doesn't have rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. That's a word picture. You can imagine a city when the walls are down, the danger that is. Proverbs 25:28, by the way, is the reference to that, which is a reminder. All right. Thank you, Allison, for sharing with us and being a part of the program today. By the way, if you want to leave your comment on our storyline, you can. 888-888-1717. All right, back to the calls.
Hi, I wanted to tell Dr. Randy how my husband and I are choosing to be intentional parents. We are not teaching our daughter that happiness is paramount. We actually are teaching her to be a decision maker and to be a faith-based decision maker based on principle, and we're really focusing on right and wrong as opposed to do what makes you happy. So we are teaching her that happiness will be there. It's not something you will have to pursue if you're a faith-based decision maker. Thank you, Dr. Randy, for reminding us all to be intentional and sharing the benefits of other people's intentional living with us.
Have you ever run into a tripwire in your life?
What a tripwire is simply an opportunity to be shaken out of autopilot long enough to stop and think about what's going on in their life.
In Dr. Randy's teaching, he talks about 10 tripwires we can encounter in our lives and how we should respond to them.
Whenever a tripwire goes off in your life, I think we should ask two questions. One is, what is God's purpose in this? The second one is, as a result of that, what am I going to do?
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you much. Thank you much, Kurt. Appreciate it. Your support to the ministry is vital, important, and appreciated muchly. Is that a word, muchly? I don't think so. You can do that today by going to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on the little donate icon. Or you can call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours. Our staff are here. Press number 2. They'd love to talk to you and hear what's going on in your life, pray with you. Maybe you have a question. Come and join us in support. We appreciate it. 888-888-1717, press number 2. I have 5 points about making decisions. I'll share that with you in just a couple minutes.
This is my 4th pregnancy. I'm pregnant with my recent boyfriend's baby. And my mom told me that I cannot have this baby if I need to continue to stay in her house. And I have no other place to go right now. My relationship with this baby's dad is like so up and down, like in and out. Like I don't know what it's going to do or what's going to happen tomorrow. But like I said, yeah, my mom told me that if I have this baby that I cannot stay at this house with her because she just can't deal with it. So basically, I'll be homeless.
You know, when you hear a call like that, you're reminded that comment left on our storyline here about how sometimes the choices we make leave us in a place, but you know what? There are people around you and in your community who love you and will help you. We're never, never completely alone, even though we feel that way sometimes. And so I would say to any of you today, when you're feeling perhaps like that caller who left a comment on our storyline, that you can reach out
And hopefully there are some churches in your community you can reach out to. I know there are here. I know if you reached out to my church here, that they would direct you and get some help. See, and so finding that kind of help in your community resources, that's important. All right, five things that I believe about decisions that are important. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. So when you call 888-888-1717, you're welcome to tell us what you've learned, what God's teaching you on our storyline, and I'll be back with those five here in just a moment.
Now I'm living intentionally. Is one thing is changing the music that I listen to, you know, certain kind of hip-hop music and certain kind of alternative rock and roll music. The lyrics don't really put you in the line of following in Christ's word. So I'm just eliminating that type of music from my music library. And it's just a small step. I think a lot of people should look into that, what they listen to, what they watch. And that's about it. My name is Seth. Bye.
Hey, Seth. Listen, you left that story. We love the stories, by the way. Stephen has everything to try to keep up with the calls that come in. We do our best, and you can share your story at 888-888-1717. I got Don on the line. We're going to get to him in a moment in Michigan, what he's learning. But before, here's five things about decisions. Number one, I said at the beginning of the show, making the big decisions before the little ones is essential. There are about five or six major decisions. You're going to know Jesus or not? That's a huge decision. It's a decision you make. You don't get saved because of anything you do, but you have to give your heart to Him. You have to be willing to say, I'm done with myself, doing it my way, and I give my life. That's a huge decision, give my life to Christ. You got to make a decision about how you're going to live. What's going to be your moral compass, your philosophy, your direction for life? That's critical. What's going to be your approach to money? I mean, how are you going to be intentional? Are you going to follow God's intention when it has to do with money and resources and stuff? What about work, about marriage, parenting? There are about six, seven things that are kind of the big things. And then filling in all the other things. Decision before the decision. Number two is timing. Timing's critical. Sometimes it's not the right time. The Bible says there's a time and season for everything under the sun. Sometimes there's a time for a decision. Sometimes there's a reason not to make a decision. Just delay, wait. Knowing the difference is critical. The Bible says there's wisdom and safety in many counselors. In the process of making a decision, make sure you get good, positive, and godly counsel. Number four, remember there are always some unintended consequences for any decision that we make. And the more you can think about what are some of the unintended consequences? How is this going to impact my family? How is this going to impact my community? How is this going to impact my relationship with other people? And then number five, and they don't have to be in this order, but this is a big one. What are some of the goals that God has placed on your heart? The Bible says that without a vision, without a goal, the people will cast off restraint. There's chaos. A goal gives us something to shoot for, and a goal can change. But a goal is sort of, it's kind of like a compass. This is the direction I'm taking. And that's really important. All right. Don, there you go in Michigan. Appreciate your call. What have you learned about this?
Well, I learned early in life that it's not always easy to make good decisions. So you kind of, that's what we're taught, like consequences for our actions. And we all kind of know that. But until you go down some roads that maybe you didn't want to go down and come through some tough challenges, then you can like make better decisions. But I mean, I've had like a Job experience before, and it wasn't very pleasant. But then I realized that it made me into a better person, even though I didn't want to go through that series of tests. And I made better decisions after that. But I was always raised by my mom and dad to make positive decisions, good decisions. And not everybody had that, and I realized that. But then I realized in Proverbs it says, he who wins souls is wise. So if your heart is open to making friends and trying to lead them and to do the right thing, you're not going to make a mistake. You're not going to mess up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, sometimes you can. You can even mess up when you think you're not going to mess up. But I think
Well, one of the things I've learned is hanging on to things lightly in the process of, God, what are you teaching me every day? And being sensitive. Good reminder, though. Okay, I think we got about a minute or so left in the show. I want to get to you, Brent. I'll get to you in just a moment. I want to remind you today that we have at our website, theintentionallife.com, very helpful resources available to you. We at Intentional Living are committed, not only what we're doing today, but we have a whole team working behind the scenes right now, really looking and strategizing and developing a broader, bigger outreach digitally around the world, how we can take this intentional living message in Christ to people, different demographics, different voices, different people coming together, making a difference and impacting people for Christ. And that's why we do this. And we're thankful for your prayers and support. Okay, I think we got just enough time for you, Brent. Sounds like you've made a decision. What is it?
I was very lackadaisical in my prayer life up until about 6 months ago, and I just made a commitment to pray every day.
And how's that been going?
I'll tell you what, let me just give you one example. I'm disabled, and I was applying for disability, and everybody kept telling me, get a lawyer, get a lawyer, get a lawyer. But as I prayed, the Holy Spirit put on my heart to just apply for myself. So I did, and I got approved the first time around in application. I didn't get denied. And that was solely because I prayed about it every day.
Now, was there a crisis that started you on this journey? What was it caused you to say, I'm making this decision and I'm going to be praying more intentionally?
I had a nervous breakdown and ended up in the hospital due to my disability. And I just recognized that I just wasn't being faithful in my prayer life. And I just decided that every day, I have to pray every day. And prayer works. It's made incredible differences in my children's attitudes. I don't even have to push them as hard as I used to do things around the house, because this Holy Spirit has just taken a hold of them and encouraging them to do their things.
Thank you, Brent. You know, wherever you are today, you're going to make one of those 33,000 decisions next, right? And it could be as simple as, am I going to have my lunch here or there, you know? Or it could be a big one. Am I going to get married or not? Am I going to follow Christ today or not? Your decisions compound. And I think one of the reasons those of us, when we get older in life, you talk about sour old people, come on. One of the reasons I think we can all become sour old people is because we made sour decisions in the process to getting to where we are today. And so making the next right decision is a powerful truth and process in your life and mine. Gotta run. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, and it is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.